Amen. So we're continuing our series on getting rid of the toxic sin of racial hatred. And when we last left you, we were talking about the theology of creation and the science of creation. Now, with theology, we're talking about that creation is first and foremost a theological, first, that creation of the universe, the heaven and earth, and everything in it is first and foremost theological and not scientific. Yeah. It is theological. We ought to look at the Word of God. If we want to find out how everything began, we ought to look at the Word of God. We talked about it being the queen of sciences. We talked about it being snatched from the realm of theology, or an attempt to do so, and putting it into the realm of the sciences, where it is natural knowledge. I want to talk to you about why we've gone into evolution. Why did we deviate from, not necessarily deviate, why is it that at this time in this, during this series of getting rid of the toxic sin of racial hatred, did we kind of delve off into the theory of evolution? And I think we kind of know the answer, because we said it's at the root of racism, it's at the root of prejudice, and so forth. But I want to read to you from a book, and the name of that book again is called One Blood. And actually, I found out the whole title is One Race, One Blood by Ken Ham, Carl Whelan, and something Batten. Don Batten. It's a good book, very good book. And again, One Race, One Blood, and it's a theological look at creation and race and so forth. So what I want, before we get into that, what I want to do is to first have us to understand that creation is supposed to be theological. Meaning, theological, there's theos, what's that here, of God and the study of, we're to keep it in the realm of God and His Word. To pull it into the realm of science is to pull it into a realm that is completely natural and no longer supernatural. When we deviated or came over to the realm of evolution, is once you understand how evolution began, what it's all about, then you'll probably do like me and wonder how in the world this theory could have become so prevalent. You'll wonder, because I wonder. I mean, I know why, because of Satan finding his... Remember, he has children. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. The devil has children. If he calls the devil, you are of your father, the devil, then what does that mean, that the devil has children? You can't be a father without children. He found children, and one in particular, Charles Darwin, and used that to spread a very vicious lie. Very vicious. I want to get into... and understanding now on, I think it was Sunday here, I'm not sure which one, but we actually read through, we did it on Sunday, but you all, most everyone was here, where we actually read through the entire creation for the most part from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. At the end of verse 1 says, and thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his works, which he had done. And so we went through that and said that account of Genesis is history, it is fact, it is reality, it is truth. That's what it is. It is not theory, it is not myth, it is not legend, it is not fantasy, it's not allegory. And you'll be surprised at that. That's kind of looked at some sort of mystical, fantastical type of an account, instead of realizing this is the Word of God. Because see, the thing about it is, if you interpret that as being fantastical, legend, mythical, fantasy, parabolic, symbolic, then you have opened up a Pandora's box as into interpreting the death of Jesus as some sort of symbolic allegory instead of it being an actual historical fact. The Bible is history. There was an Elijah who was taken up by chariot into the heavens. That's called a miracle. There was an actual Jesus Christ. Even history will tell you there was a man by the name of Jesus who lived who was born in Bethlehem and lived in Jerusalem and grew up in Nazareth. History will tell you that. But what it won't tell you is that he was the Messiah. There was a man there. There was a man or woman by the name of Jezebel who was actually an evil woman. That is not some symbolic woman. Now, we use that symbolically now. But there wasn't a woman who was named Jezebel. And she was an actual person. There was an actual Apostle Paul who was a murderer of Christians who later became an apostle who was once sent out by God. He's real. There was a man by the name of John the Revelator detained on the island of Patmos who God supernaturally showed him the whole end time. Amazing. This is history. It's real. It's fact. Just as you open up any book, how do you know that there's a Phyllis Wheatley? Because history tells you, you never saw her. I never saw her. And we see drawings. I don't think there are any photographs. How do we know that there was what's his name? The slave from Equiano, Olauda, Equiano. Those are his writings, they say. We believe it. Why? We accept that. But when it comes to the word of God, we got all kind of, this wasn't that. And they really, wasn't Frederick Douglass. It was Freddie D. And someone just gave him Douglass, you know, and kind of made it up. And no, we don't go through that when it comes to history. You open up a book, we believe it. In fact, I didn't know you weren't supposed to believe everything you read till you got almost in college. Because in kindergarten, first, second, third, you taught bits of history and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you just accepted it. You don't know that the story, for most part, has been whitewashed. And that is a necessity in black high schools in particular to have a separate black history class to go along with your American history class. Even that didn't ring a bell. You know, they're like, why would you have this? It should be all history. It's all American history. Believe you me, slavery didn't happen over in Africa, in a sense, not the American slavery. It happened in America. This is American. It happened in America, happened in the past. That's American history. Just as real as the Declaration of Independence. No, well, Crispus Attucks, the first black man to die in that. That's history. The Bible is history, and its author is God. This is an eyewitness account. Let that sink into your minds. Where's the debate? Why is there a debate? This is God telling Moses many years later about what happened many years ago. Moses wasn't around. There was no human until the sixth day. It's history and it's fact. It's an eyewitness account. Matter of fact, if you look at Exodus chapter 20. Oh, by the way, a quick quiz. What is heaven and earth in Hebrew symbolic for? The universe. You win the gold star, mother. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 8. The Greek word for day is yom. We believe yom to be 24 hours. Period. 24-hour day. I don't think it was an accident. In fact, I know it wasn't. That the Lord kept mentioning it was an evening, it was a morning, the first day. All of that, to go through all of that every single day. There was an evening, there was a morning, the second day. There was an evening. Not one time did he fail to mention there was an evening, there was a morning, the third day. I think that's a big time case for a 24-hour day. You say, why are you mentioning that? We ain't getting an argument here. Yeah, because we're here. We're here, word of life. Well, when you go out there, I told you there are millions of so-called Christians who do not believe in the Genesis account of creation. In fact, they believe, and there are many Christians who, so-called Christians, who believe in evolution. That's this very disturbing to me. And again, as we apologetically teach you, I want you to not be surprised when you are approached by so-called Christians who believe in, who do not believe in a 24-hour day, but they believe in evolution. And I say that because I want you to understand, and I've told you this many, many times, that so-called evangelical Christians believing in the Bible as being the infallible, inerrant word of God, is that group is shrinking more and more. The word of God is no longer the final truth to supposed Christians. When I ain't talking about the world, it never was to them. This is disturbing for those who say they are Christians. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female slaves, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. Okay, now, to me this is crystal clear. Who is he talking to? Just his people, regular human beings. For 6 days, you're to work. Regular human beings. 24-hour period, regular human beings. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this over and over again. Regular human beings working physical labor. Safe to say that. You do that, you work physically for 6 days. 7 day, everybody rests. Because, and tells you why, verse 11. Because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore means as a result, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So verse 11, if you will, could be an explanation of why the Lord took 6 days to create it. Because he could have made it in 6 seconds. Why did he choose 6 days? Because it was a pattern of how we're to do as we go about our work week. He said you work 6 days. Verse 8, remember, keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor. Now, here we are tying the 6 days of labor to the 6 days of God creating. You see that? So the labor of the human being for those 6 days has to be a 24-hour period. Because he's not saying 6 days meaning billions of years you should work. Did you catch that? And then on the seventh day, whenever that is, you're going to finally rest. Well, the human being will die after that. Or it didn't mean billions of years in Genesis and suddenly became days in Exodus, same word, yom. Then you can't escape with that interpretation, because he then ties the 6 days that he's telling man about to the 6 days of creation. That is a summary of the creation of the universe, the heavens and the earth. That's what that is. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and earth. And in those same 6 24-hour days, you're supposed to work. Yom, 24-hour days. I I know I'm preaching to the choir because you said, okay, we know that. Yeah, but I want you to be able to defend it to somebody else. And you know, almost every time, in whatever, some type of way, when this happens, certainly, sure enough, at work, home, cousin, uncle, somebody comes to somebody from work life. And sure enough, you know, Pastor, you know, when you're telling us be ready, yep, my cousin came in, I was able to explain it. And I want you to be able to do that. There are those who do not believe in the six-day creation. But that's all on the theology. How are we defining the creation of the universe? Through the Word of God. Yeah. That is the account. That's our only basis of the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And by the way, someone may ask, you know, there are planets there. Where did they come from? Well, planets were known as stars. So he created the stars, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1. The planets were known as stars. The word planet came later, and it means wandering star. Because upon further review, as God allowed man to invent telescopes to look closer at the stars, they noticed there were some that moved. And they called those stars planets, which means wandering star. But planets are all stars. So when he made the stars, that means all of the constellations, all of the planets. Make sense? Okay. Last time we left off, we began to talk about evolution. We gave it another title as well, the science of creation, which we said it is not true because science, there's no such a thing as that, the science of creation. Also known as the theory of evolution, which is no such a thing as that. Biblically speaking, not my opinion, but biblically speaking. We talked about science, the definition of science, which is a systematic knowledge of physical or material of the physical or material world gained through observation and experimentation. So that means if you're observing something that's physical or material, that means it is already in existence. It has to exist before you can even. So therefore, science, the creation of science is an impossibility because creation is done supernaturally and you could not observe God making the heavens and the earth. There was no one there to observe, then to test, and then verify through a repeatable so what I have here, the process can't be repeated to be sure that it's verified. There was no one there. You can't scientifically prove that which is supernatural, which is over and above and beyond the natural. There is no explanation, scientifically speaking, for the universe. Just think about this. Science can't explain miracles. Think about that. Why? Because miracles are supernatural and occur beyond that which can be observed, tested, and verified. Did that make sense? What about the axe head that floated in 2 Kings? Axe, you throw a piece of iron into water, what's going to happen? It's going to sink. But this axe head, it fell off and fell into the water. And he said, oh, my master, I'm on a long, it's borrowed. I'm messed up, you know. That thing dropped into the water and it floated. And then it just pick it right up off the top of the water. That's a miracle. All you can do is science is see that it's floating. But you can't explain it because what happened behind the reason of it floating is supernatural. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, I know this is a long way about to get to evolution, to tie that to racism, but that's what we do here. We want thorough because you'll understand where this is all going to fit in, where you're like, well, because eventually it's going to be the ridiculousness of evolution, which should have never even got going like that. In order to cause all of this over here,
which had caused a tremendous firestorm that has lasted even on today. What about when God divided the Red Sea? So there's a dry ground. There's a scientist standing on the dry ground, seeing the sea jailed up on both sides, standing on dry ground. Oh, this is amazing. Pictures are being taken. You can verify maybe that the water is water, because you can test that. The ground is dry. You can test that. But how did the water separate, stay separated, until some say a million people went through the sea? And then once the millionth person went through, Pharaoh's army is now in the middle of the sea, the waters fold back over them. There is no scientific explanation. I know this is ad nauseum, but do you understand what I'm saying? You can't observe the supernatural. That is unobservable. And just because, again, I say, just because you observe something that's already in existence does not mean that whatever you observe about the characteristics about this particular thing does not tell you how it came into existence, because it's already in existence. We talked about the tree being cut, and each ring in the coast represents a year. That's what the scientists believe. Who told them that? They just assumed that. There was no book that said, even the Bible didn't say that each one cut a year. But he told you that if you were to cut it 5 seconds after it came into existence, it had them same rings. You said, well, this tree is 5,000 years old, 10,000 years old. It's only 5 minutes old. But you'd have looked at Adam. Let's say Adam was 25. He was created a full-grown man. He said, well, this guy's 25 years old. He's been here for 25 years. He's been here for 5 seconds. He said, no, I haven't. I've been here for 5 seconds. Do you understand that? He created a whole earth, not seedlings that had to grow. So there were grown dinosaurs. There were grown chickens. What's the unanswerable question? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? We just don't know. The chicken, because the word of God says it. There's no question, there's no argument. The chicken came first. Because God created everything whole. Then the chicken laid eggs and brought. He created a whole Adam and a whole Eve. Then they consummated and had children. Or then the dinosaurs and so forth. There were grown dinosaurs. Yes, I do believe there were dinosaurs. Yes, I do believe that. But became extinct after the flood. The flood caused a lot of species of beings in the animal kingdom to become extinct. But I do believe that God created that. There's some evidence in the Leviathan, possibly, but theologians will not be dogmatic about it, as mentioned in the book of Job. But it's no big deal. It's a big, large animal. So what? I mean, God is... You ever seen a Rottweiler, a full grown? That scare you too. Big old thing. God created all. You can go and analyze the dinosaur. You can go and analyze the tree. You can go analyze the mountains. Analyze the Grand Canyon and see all of those layers of sediment. And you deduce, you conclude on your own. That took millions of years to get to that. The earth was created whole. It was created, we would say, grown, not a young seedling. Someone asked, why does the earth look so old? Well, one, it was created grown. That's why it's older. Well, it looks older than that. Then I love the second answer. Also add to that, sin. Sin made it look older. And boy, oh boy, how many people do we know who live in sin look 40 years older than they should look? Oh my Lord, you see people in their 20s look 40. It wears out. Sin not only just helps to destroy and age a person, it's so poisonous that it causes the earth to look old. And you know what? I got a verse that can help a little bit with that. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 18. 19. Look at verse 19. Romans 8:19. Got it? Okay. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Let's just add a little explanation here, in a sense. What the Holy Spirit did in his ingenious literary, in displaying his ingenious literary skills, is he paints creation as a person. So think of it like that. So act like that the creation, all of the creation, I'm talking about the ground, I'm talking about the stars, I'm talking about the air, because the air is polluted, the waters are polluted, that's all sin. Leaves that die, that's sin. Death is because of sin. The air is polluted. If we could really see what was all in the air, we might die just from the fright of, well, I breathe that every day. Think of the smog in Los Angeles. Think of all the pollutions, you know, that went into the air before any of these clean air initiatives went forth in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, as technology and factories and things began to go forth. How much of that was spit in the air and came raining down? It's the whole earth is under curse. The whole universe. Okay, so remember, it's a person. So this person called creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage. See, the whole creation is enslaved because of sin, set free from its bondage to corruption, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only that, but also we ourselves. Creation is groaning, just like a person weighed down with sin. Whether they are on the crack pipe, whether they're living a hard life, a young lady has just spent her years giving her body to sex and things, and just drains the life out. Creation is just groaning. It looks old because it was created whole and mature, and it looks old because of sin, but not evolution. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Quickly, the sun standing still. Remember Joshua fighting the battle? The sun stood still. Wow, how you gonna, what is the scientist gonna say to that? The earth stopped spinning. It couldn't happen because everything would have stopped. Once it stopped spinning, everything drops. Because the centrifugal force keeps the spin of the earth pulls everything down to the ground. We call it gravity. You stop spinning, we just float out into space. So he didn't do that. He supernaturally stopped the sun while the earth kept spinning. That's a miracle. What is a miracle? A setting aside of the laws of nature. An interruption, a setting aside, and causing an event to occur. That is an incredible event, to watch the sun stand still so they could fight in total daylight the entire time. Amen. There's no explanation for that. What, the five loaves and the two fishes? Jesus is breaking off the bread, and more bread is appearing. Now, the bread that appears after that, the first two loaves came from some grain and some flour, but all the ones after that came from no grain, came from no flour. Two fishes came from a mom and a daddy fish, but the rest of them had no mom and daddy fish. They just were created. There's no scientific explanation for the continual appearing of grain to 5,000 men besides women and children. Some say as many as 10,000 to 12,000 may have been in that crowd. Where your microscope on that? The turning of water into wine in John 2. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. That's a classic one. Lazarus raised from the dead. Everybody knew he was dead. He was in there 4 days. He began to smell. The body began to putrefy. Slime, excuse me, coming from various parts of his body. A horrific smell. He's dead. Suddenly he's alive. Rolled away the stone. Lazarus come forth. Here come Lazarus walking out of the grave. You can have every scientist in the world walking around him, telling him, wow, man, dude, you were dead, weren't you? Yeah, so was. Let's watch him, what he eats, what he drinks, how he walks. If you study all of that, will it tell you how he rose from the dead?
Nope.
Nope. That's why looking at a tree and cutting it through, see the rings, any of you can halfway figure out how old it is, doesn't tell you how it came into existence. That's the point where the evolutionists have missed it. You're studying something that's already in existence. You can study it all day long, but your conclusion can never tell you how it came into existence. Because you're studying it means that it exists, but how it came into existence can never be told from watching something already in existence. Does that sound like double talk? You understand what I'm saying?
No.
And you come with that kind of knowledge and understanding, they're going to look at you like, this is not a dumb Christian. And that's the point I want. The people of God are too dumb. That's a graphic and mean word, but it's really true. Because we don't know. We don't know. And unfortunately, we're so full of emotion. We want emotion and entertainment. That double-edged E-sword, emotion and entertainment. We want that so much, we don't care to know. We really don't. We just want to feel good. Entertain me so I can feel good. How many of us, you know, you're not the only one that walked out and didn't know what the preacher was saying? There are millions. Especially in black churches. There are millions. Go to church every Sunday. Don't know what the preacher said. Tell you what he did. Tell you what he wore. Tell you what song was sung. Tell you about the soloist like it's American Idol. Because we've been judging her, the soloist. Remembered all the song, but the meat. I don't remember. I don't know what he talked about. And he entertained it up so much. Spoke from one, usually the church I went to, they usually read one verse. Oh, do you know, brothers? Romans 7:1. For I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding, I don't know why you got to say it like that, on a person only as long as he lives. Title of my sermon is, be bound as long as you live. Can I get amen? Is that how we used to that? The Bible closes one verse and dude brother goes the next half hour, 40 minutes. Then the last 15 minutes of it, bronchitis and asthma. In full effect. Am I in the right place? Yeah. And then of course, you know, when the bronchitis finna hit, somehow the organist know. Because he just get out of his little seat and go right on behind the organ, Papa. Park yourself and get ready. He's going to have on tuxedo, like, flap his tails out to sit down, get all the keys ready, and there you go. Entertainment, entertain me. Somebody tell you about a 7-day creation, you're like, huh? What? You can't even defend what you know. And is right. You think the Lord is pleased with that? You don't know nothing. The man will tell you anything. Tell you, hey, tell you evolution is good. You are so dumb.
I'm just being real. You're so ignorant, you don't even know to say, hold on, that's not right. And the word of God is blasphemed because of your ignorance due to this preacher who don't know any better. And to be honest with you, a lot of them shouldn't even be preaching. They need to do just what I did. I was in the ministry for 10 years. Lord says, sit your raggedy behind down because you don't know nothing. And personally, what you don't know is me. And I sat down for the next 10 years. And more preachers need to do that. Because when the Lord raises them up, they'll be raised up to do His will, His work, His way, and His timing. And then the people get to grow. I'm not talking about numerically. I'm talking about where it really counts, spiritually. And those who've been sitting up under this ministry have grown. I myself, probably more than all y'all. Because I'm sitting up under this ministry. This is not my ministry. It's not coming from me. It's coming through me, but it's coming from Him. And if you believe this, it's going to cause you to grow. You have an answer. You'll hear. And sometimes a song is presented. Or I remember when I was playing a song, and I thought to myself, I wonder if this group, what church they go to. And does that church believe in a seven-day creation? But that's the way I'm supposed to think. I'm a pastor. I said, wow, look how I'm thinking. But that's the way I'm trained to think. And I want to train you. And I don't want to say, well, he's a pastor. He's supposed to. I'm just a regular. No, I want you to think the same way. Yes. Yes. People come into your life, just because somebody mentioned God, don't mean they talking about even the God of the Bible. Yes, remember that series, right? There's so many gods out there. You probe, you ask, you probe, you ask, you probe, you ask. Definition, we'll stop. Mm-hmm, okay. We'll stop here. We'll give a definition, we'll stop. The definition of evolution, we haven't given one yet. So let's give one. Definition of evolution, the process by which different kinds of living organisms are thought, key phrase, to have developed and diversified from earlier forms during the history of the earth. I'm going to read it again. The process, okay, Miss April, okay. She said, The process by which different kinds of living organisms, and if you can capitalize, highlight, and underline, are thought to have developed and diversified from earlier forms during the history of the earth. Say it again. Okay? The process by which different kinds of living organisms, you got that? Are thought, got that? To have developed and diversified. You got that?
Not yet.
Okay. To have diversified. Okay. From earlier forms. So you got that part right there? So it's where they saw, and we'll get in that a little bit more. So a living organism, they conclude, it's a thought, it's a theory, this is what we believe happened, to have developed and diversified from an earlier form. So this form came from something, it was something else before that, okay? During the history of the earth. Period. The process by which different kinds of living organisms are thought to have developed and diversified from earlier forms during the history of the earth. Is that in line with the biblical account of creation?
No.
How does it even get a foothold in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? How? And so we'll get on that next time. Father, I just cannot thank you enough for your word. It settles with all finality, all conflicts.
Amen.
With all finality, all conflicts.
Because really, amongst your true, real, genuine people, majority of them, there's no conflict. When you said you created the heavens and the earth, and then summarize it in Exodus, for in 6 days you created the heavens and the earth, 7 you rested. We believe it. We don't have the audacity to tell you, oh, that don't really mean what it means. Which millions have said that and blasphemed your name, your majesty, your power, and your sovereignty. Like it's so hard for you to do something in 6 days. My Lord, we got to explain why it took 6 days. Father God, you hear that? We got to explain why it's because you can do it in 6 seconds. Mm-hmm. You can say everything be, and everything was, and everything still is. But I believe you were forming a pattern for us, meaning we ain't supposed to always work. There's something we got, something else got to lock in on. Here's a time for divine rest. Why? Because your word says so. It's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. Your word guides us, not science, not man, not theories. Your word, your word, your word. We're storing up, treasuring, depositing in our hearts in abundance. Why? Just so we can just know a lot of things? No, that we may not ultimately sin against you and bring you ultimate glory, maximum praise and honor. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, that he may do it with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, our Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now, in time, and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' holy name, let every heart say, amen.
Amen.